never forgot, you know, when I was in the Church of God, that we were taught that when you have the Holy Ghost, you've got it all, brother. And when God began to teach me, I found out that I had just begun.
That's it.
Your life begins with the Holy Ghost. Oh yes. You when you're born again, you are only receiving power to become sons of God. You're only receiving God's life in order that you might accept life. In other words, you couldn't have the Holy Ghost without salvation. So God couldn't deal with you. You were a dead man. God had to resurrect you before he could talk to you. Hallelujah. So we thought we had everything when we just had the earnest of our inheritance. Just a little down payment.
Right.
You know, you generally, the down payment on a car is generally the smallest part of the payment on the car. You know, you're going to find out afterwards that you pay before you begin to finish paying for that car. So the down payment is the Holy Ghost. And praise God. God spoke a word to me this morning. And I believe that word is for us here this evening. Let's turn around to Revelation chapter 11. And let's just talk a little bit about the overcomers. The overcomers. There is a... did I say 11? I really meant 12. Revelation chapter 12. And... They never take a text without the context. A text is of no use without the context. Somebody comes and say, God say so-and-so. What else did he say? So let's read the context, because the text is in verse 11. But the context is from verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael, if you take the word heaven and you translate it the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. you will understand a little more of what God is saying. There was war in the kingdom of God. In God's holy heaven, there is no war. Mm-hmm. It's peace and eternal joy and love. There is no war up there. So if there is a heaven that is imperfect, it is our heaven, the heaven of God's dwelling place in us and down here, which God, the earth, the kingdoms of this world, help me, shall become the kingdom of God and his Christ. So this world doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to God and his Christ and his people. And so this is where the war is. Amen. So in the kingdom of God, there's war. And God sent Michael the archangel. And Michael fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. And they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more. I want you to notice those words. That at one time, there was place found in the kingdom of God for the devil.
Praise God.
Because we have God in us. And every child of God said, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Spirit of God. I've got God in me. But is it only God you have in you? I found some who had God in them, who had devil in them too. And had self in them too. And there were all different kinds of evil spirits dwelling in God's kingdom. That sounds terrible. That's true. I've cast evil spirits out of brethren. I've seen evil spirits come out of me. Yes. So because you see, when God comes, when the Holy Ghost comes into you, he comes into your spirit. He does not come into your soul, but he's in your spirit, preparing your soul for the Christ to live there and to take it over. And when you talk theological talk like spirit and soul, people don't understand what you're talking about. When you talk about your soul, you're talking about your mind. You're talking about your emotions. I've seen the devil get away in brothers' emotions that we had to hold him because he was ready to kill. And then afterwards, he was sorry. You see, because his emotion was given over to a wild demon at the time. And so there is no more place. The Bible said that the time came here in Revelation verse 8, where there was no more place found for the devil in God's people. And we are rejoicing in God that the time is coming very shortly when God will deliver his people from satanic forces. If you just put your finger in the air, because I like to read, it's only the context, it's not the message yet. But to prove the context to be right, let's put a marker in your Bible and turn backwards to Daniel. And you take Daniel chapter 12, and you see the same thought that at the end of time, God is going to send Michael the archangel to help us. Now, who is Michael? The scripture says his name, Michael, means like God. Michael means like God. God's going to send the most powerful archangel to help us to fight the devil. Isn't that something? Verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So we have to praise God that there is a time of great exaltation for the body of Christ when we shall be completely delivered from every devil. You say, but brother, some dear brothers, a brother says, I've got the Holy Ghost, I don't need Michael. Sure, we got the Holy Ghost, but we do need Michael. Why? Because Michael is a weapon. Can you understand that? The Bible says the work of angels is to serve, work for the people of God. Okay? I pray to God. I said, Lord God, move that mountain for me. Oh, no, not mountain yet. Mole hill. Lord, move that little mole hill from my garden. And God send a little angel. Next morning I get up, the mole hill is gone. But when I have a big old mountain standing up in my backyard, yes, or in my life, yes, and I can't move that mountain because you can't do anything spiritual, mm-hmm, and you call to God, God has to send a big angel. That's why God sent Michael when Daniel was praying a big prayer. He needed a big weapon.
Yes.
And God sent him Michael, the mighty one. And Michael came down with the blood. Now, Michael is the angel in heaven who uses the blood of Jesus Christ as his weapon. That's why he was able to overcome though the people sin. And nothing can destroy the power of sin and the wages of sin but the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Do you understand? It's a very simple situation. If you sin, automatically you have put yourselves in the hand of the devil. So that means we do it all the while. We put ourselves in the hand of the devil because the devil goes to God and said, didn't your word say the wages of sin is death? This man sinned, let me loose on him. Hallelujah. But the blood of Jesus Christ is going to intervene. So let us see, go back to this and see if the context is according to the text, because the context must agree with the text or else somebody is misquoting the Bible. Oh yes, you can take a text out of its context, and whenever you do that, it's wrong, misquoting Let it be that God said so, and this is what God meant when he said what he said. So let's go on. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, we're still on the context. Why did the Bible call him dragon? Why did the Bible call him serpent? Why did the Bible call him devil and Satan? Dragon, serpent, devil, Satan. What a lot of names just all of a sudden. Why all four names were used in the scripture? First of all, the dragon. What is a dragon? A dragon is a legendary animal with more than one head. But between us, we know God don't make anything with two heads. Anything with more than one head is some other force that make it beside God. The Russians said that they had a dog with two heads. You remember that? They engrafted another head on. It has to be done by some other force. Well, I'm only saying this to say that as the scripture described the dragon, it looks like a many-membered satanic body. Don't you understand? Seven heads and 10 horns, that is not something of God. It is made by Satan, and Satan incorporate different agencies. For instance, one of those heads in Revelation is the false church. The false church is one of the heads of the devil. Satan using it. And so when you talk about we, the end time people, having to face a dragon, this is what we're facing. A kingdom of seven heads and 10 horns. That's seven men, or 10 men and seven kingdoms. Okay, all right, we go on, because we're not preaching about that this morning. So let's go on. He which deceived the whole world, and he was cast out. Where was he cast out from? Out of the kingdom of God. For God said that the kingdom, we must pray, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So now there was no more place found for this devil. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. So we just had a taste of it before, but now the completion of our salvation. Now is come the end of our salvation, as the scripture said in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, once I was driving along with this young man, and the fellow turned around and started to curse me. And when God showed me above the man's head, there was a devil cursing me, not my brother. My brother would not curse me in a million years. But the devil caused him to curse me. And I could separate him from the devil that was manifesting in him, and rebuked the devil and lifted up the brother.
Praise God.
And he said, yes, you're right. Well, how could it be done? First of all, I had to reach out the hand of love to the brother. You know what the vision I saw in the car while he was cursing me? You hate me and I hate you too. God said to me, that man sitting beside you does not hate you. Is it possible for you ever to see that? A man and woman went to the altar and they get married, and they had moments of love together, and something went wrong and they started quarreling. And hate comes forth, and hard words begin to pass. You better reach up into God and remember the love story that you and that person had and say it's a lie. She does not hate me. I don't hate you. This is not what you do to people who you hate. You know what God showed me? God showed me the brother push his hand in his pocket and take out a $10 bill. I must have told you the story before. And took out a $10 bill and gave me. And I remember the day. And you know what God said to me? He says it's the last $10 he had. And I said to him, I said, listen, brother. You don't hate me, and you know why you don't hate me? Because I remember one day you pretended that you had a lot of money. You put your hand in your pocket, you took out a $10 bill and gave me. And God said it was the last $10 bill you had. Isn't that true? He said, yes. I said, well, that's not hate. I said, you, I know you. You would have taken off your shirt off your back and given it to me. I said, you're not a man that hate me, and I know you don't hate me. I said, it's the devil talking. He said, it's true. He came right down off his anger and he said, it's true. Said, I don't hate. And then I got the opportunity. I said, I don't hate you either. I said, I love you. And blessed be to God Almighty if you can ever learn, brethren, to see beyond people. See beyond people. No matter what they're doing, don't look at the person.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God said, don't know a man after the flesh.
Yes.
Look at the spirit, and you're going to see some things that sometimes the accuser of the brethren. You know what the accuser does? He get me to be mad at you, and then I curse you, and then he tells it to you. Mm-hmm. You see how bad he is.
Praise God.
Okay, isn't that a terrible con man's work?
Yes.
Here comes this con man. He overcome me. He get me to do something wrong so that you may see. Yes. When you see, he says to you, look at that.
Right.
When he finished, he says he's a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He works on both sides.
Yes.
And we need to begin to recognize this satanic work. He said, God called him here the accuser. He did it and then he turned around and accused you for doing it.
Right.
Hallelujah. See, so the accuser of the brethren is cast down, and they here the voice is still talking, the angel is still talking, and they overcame him. What a rejoicing in heaven!
Yes.
Heaven is rejoicing, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Who am I? That if you curse me, I should be mad over it. Probably I'm no good. If you understand yourself, you will begin to humble yourself even in the face of a good tongue lashing.
Yes.
You remember David? David was going along. God was dealing with David. David had sinned and God was dealing with him. And Shimei got up and cast dust at him and cursed him. And one of David's men said, let me go up there and take off his head. And David said, no, not today. David said, no, not today. Because God has allowed him to do that.
Praise.
So we are going to have to begin to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after him. Now the question here is, how did we overcome? We're talking about overcomers. Brethren, there's a set of people that God is training right now to be overcomers. Part of the church. God cannot get the whole church to be overcomers. And God is getting those who are hard enough and those who don't count their lives enough and make up their minds enough to be overcomers. And God is recruiting you. God is recruiting overcomers. And I'm going to prove it to you this evening by the power of God. Now, they said, how did we overcome? And the angel said, by two things. The blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto the death. And so I asked God, I said, Lord, You know, we say the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Sometimes we even say, plead the blood, 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 the blood. What is it? What is the blood anyhow? Because it must have some other meaning beside red plasma.
Right.
It just cut your cut and the blood drain out. What efficacy, what power is in blood? Hallelujah. And God answered me. He said, life.
Mm-hmm.
Life. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I'm quoting the word of God. Oh, my life then is in my blood. What about God? God's life is in God's blood. And let me tell you something. The secret of the blood of God is what defeats Satan. Completely took him by surprise. The Bible said if they had known that he was the King of glory, they would not have killed him. I think if Satan had known that he was going to be destroyed by the blood that bleed out of the man's vein,
yes,
that the man Christ Jesus had incorporated within his physical being the whole power of God's heaven.
Amen.
In his blood, he had the life of God. And I don't know if we can understand what the life of God means. The scripture describes it in the Greek as Zoe. It speaks of the life of God as Zoe, but it still doesn't tell us what we're talking about. We are talking about an energy source,
yes,
that is far beyond our mental capacity to understand. An energy force that will resurrect, will deliver, will create, will bring to pass worlds where there were no worlds. God spoke his word and his life went forth and did the job. And he said, this life he gave into a man named Jesus, and this life was the light of men. I want you to notice that he said the life was the light, because life is light, and light is energy and power and force, and that is, we can't go any further than that in our understanding. But we can understand that when Satan overcame Adam, according to the laws of God, by the laws of war, Adam had given up his right,
yes, he did,
and his kingdom,
yes, he did,
and his authority,
mm-hmm,
and he lost his power.
Yes, he did.
You know that? You give up your authority to Satan, and all of a sudden you find that the power you had, you lost it.
Mm-hmm.
So, when Adam lost this power, Adam had one hope, that Jesus Christ would come, that the second Adam would come, that this second Adam would come and give him back what he had lost, and give him more so that he can never lose it again. And this is what God is doing through Jesus. So God sent Jesus, and Satan looked at him and said, but he's a woman's son. And if he is human being, I'm going to manage him anyhow. And so Satan thought he would manage Jesus. I don't know how he could be so stupid.
Right.
But, you know, I went to God with it. I don't know if there's a question that I didn't ask God. Say, I cannot overcome this thought, Lord, I said. That Satan was so stupid, yet he's so mighty, he's intelligent, and so far above ours. Why didn't he know that he couldn't win? And you know what God told me? He said, sin destroys your power even to reason righteously.
Right.
You cannot reason righteously after you sin.
That's right. Oh, dear God.
It's a peculiar situation. I've seen men of great power in God, and they sin.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, their reason become twisted, and they begin to accept doctrines and foolishness.
Yes.
That they wouldn't have accepted ordinarily. And so, he believed that he could win against Jesus. But you see, there was something in Jesus. Bless God, Jesus hid it. I think that the flesh of Mary covered up.
That's right, absolutely.
The power of God. Come, oh man, I don't know how, flesh must be something terrible. If it could cover up, hide the power of God.
That's right.
And on the Mount of Transfiguration, the power came out through his flesh.
Yes.
And the glory of God was seen, the brothers couldn't look at it. He was in a cloud so bright, he just glorified before them. And the Bible called it transfiguration. And Paul called it ex anastasis, or out resurrection. I want you to understand what we're talking, that there is something in you,
yes, it is,
that it's going to come out,
yes,
of you one day.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the glory of God will be seen in there.
Hallelujah, I believe. Praise God.
It's worthwhile to suffer, no matter what they do you, brother. Suffer with joy because you're an overcomer.
Hallelujah.
God is creating overcomers.
Amen.
And we should not care for our lives.
Right.
What we suffer, whether we live or die, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because, hallelujah, you see, you same devil that's beating me, I'm going to stand up.
Right.
And be an overcomer while you're down in,
right,
the pit.
Hallelujah. That's right.
I mean, this is the glory of it all. The Satan tears up a man's body, kill him. Tear him up into pieces and kill him. And a man sits and laughs. You know, one day you see the same body that you tear up, Satan. I'm going to take up that same body, not another body. The same body. How can you do that? I'm going to call every nature, every part of nature that in which my body is disseminated, and that body will have to come back.
Great.
And the Bible said that the sea will give up.
Jesus.
It's dead. The earth will give up. It's dead. The trees will give up what they have for me.
Right.
And I'll come back and stand before you, Satan. I've overcome you.
Right.
Amen.
And this is what God's talking about, overcomers. See, some people don't like to preach a physical resurrection. But this is where the victory lies.
That's right.
That the physical earth will have to give back what it has for me.
Praise God.
If I die and my flesh go to the earth, the glory and the power of the resurrection will call to the earth and say, give up, Cecil Ducel, give up.
Glory.
And he must give up the dead, and we'll stand back in our flesh.
Praise.
Before Satan and said, we have won.
Praise.
Hallelujah. And this is the blood of Jesus we're talking about. Now, so this blood is the life of God that God put in a man's vein. And when Jesus died, you wonder, has anybody here ever wondered, why did they have to kill him so horribly? Why did he have to hang up on a tree? Why did they have to push a sword in his side and drain out the last drop of blood? Why did they have to puncture his toes, his feet, so that he drains in the feet? Why did they have to puncture his two hands so that they drain? Because they had to get every drop of that blood out. Because the blood was the life of the world. God sent his life. Listen to this one. Jesus Christ, Jesus, the man named Jesus, the physical man, was a transporter. Like you take a truck to carry your produce, you know, from Michigan to Florida.
Yes.
God took the body, the physical body. He said, a body hast thou prepared me to transport heaven to earth.
Yes.
And the power and the energy and the life force of God, which God has in heaven, by which the angels live and move and do what God's bidding is, he put that life force into a man and sent it down here. And when the man died, the life force now belonged to us.
Praise God.
It was left here. The blood drained out and was left here. And so the blood is in this room.
Yes.
This morning, this afternoon, the blood of Jesus Christ is right over here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You reach up by faith and you get your portion.
Praise God.
Say, give us, Lord, this day our daily bread. My share.
Yes.
Did you pray that this morning? Lord God, give me my share of bread today. Because there is a portion of life that belongs to you, which God put, well, this is for John, and this is for Tom, and this is for Mary, and this is for John. Give me my portion, Lord, today. Give us this day our daily bread. And when the woman came and grabbed him by the hem of his garment, and he felt,
yes,
the power went out of him. Hallelujah. Amen. She got her portion.
Yes.
She got her portion. The woman came to him and said, Lord, give me some healing for my daughter. He said, don't you know that I can't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? She said, yes, Lord. But there is a rule that whatever drop off the table belongs to the dog. Somebody did reject you.
Right.
Who you came to. Some of those children didn't like the meat and threw it away.
Yes.
Said, give me that.
Yes. Oh, that's
right. Hallelujah. And he said, I said, I never seen such faith. She couldn't be turned off.
Right.
She was determined she was going to get that bread. And praise be to God, we're talking then about the life force of God, which is given to us to be overcomers. We have to believe it by faith. We have to reach up to it, and we have to take it by faith, and we have to know it is ours. And it is a weapon. It is a weapon. It's not just a defensive force, but when you get the life of God in you, it destroys the power of the devil in you. And it also defends you. We would be dead now if the blood of Jesus Christ had not intervened on many occasions. On one occasion I remember, I was in a battle with some supernatural force, and this thing held me down in the bed. Now some people said, well, you must have been sinful, or you judge me. Hallelujah. This thing held me down in the bed, and the moment the thing sprung on me, I saw Jesus. He jumped into the bed right beside me.
Great.
And he touched me at my shoulder and said, don't struggle. He said, it's not a natural struggle. You see, a thing like that happened to you, you start fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And you get right out of the spirit. The easiest way to get a person out of the spirit is to frighten them.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan knows this. So he came through like a lion, sprang on me. I saw the thing. See? And when he held me down, I saw Jesus. And the glory of his presence, just his eyes looked at me. And it brought such a peace and a joy. I know I was a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Though I was still being choked to death. And he touched me on my shoulder like that, said, don't struggle. He said, it's not natural, it's spiritual. Because I wasn't sleeping. I'm standing up, looking at this thing. As a matter of fact, something went funny because I was looking through the wall. Clear through the concrete wall, and there I was seeing everything outside. And I said, my God, this is something funny, you know. And I started enjoying being in this realm where I could see through walls, you know. And then all of a sudden I saw this thing come in. Horrible looking, man type of looking thing. And I call out to it in the name of Jesus. Came, turn. And when he turned, it was like lightning, like a bolt of lightning struck me, knocked me clean over on the bed, and was on top of me. Then Jesus jumped in the bed and touched me on my shoulder. Don't struggle, he said. It is not natural, it is spiritual. Because if you're in the natural,
right,
you're not asleep, you know it's not a vision, and all of a sudden this happened to you, boy, you're going to fight. You see, you lose, you forget everything about the spiritual. And he touched me. I just said, praise God. And I just relaxed. And this thing was choking me. And immediately I relaxed, I saw the cross of Jesus Christ rise right up.
Praise God.
I'm lying down, and here is the cross standing up above me. And Jesus is hanging on the cross, his head turned down. I've never had a more vivid picture of Christ in all my life. And the blood was streaming down his face. It was coming down his hand, twirling around his armpit, coming down. His feet, it was going down to the ground from his feet. And I saw then suddenly a drop of blood went tip from his left hand. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." That drop of blood could save every sinner on earth. It could save the whole world. The one drop of blood has such power and efficacy. It could save every sinner. And I begin to rejoice in the drop of blood. I mean, I'm telling you in minutes, but man, I tell you, it wasn't this long. You know, your vision is very short. You don't know how much time, but I was still choking. And I looked to the right hand, and I saw another drop. Tip, it went. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." That drop of blood could destroy every devil in hell, could clean this whole realm of satanic forces. And I rejoiced in God. And the third drop came from his face. And it just dropped right into my face. And I said, "Jesus!" And threw the thing clean off me against
Praise
the wall.
God.
And gain the victory. So I know that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is mighty.
Yes.
We need to understand a little more about the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is a living force that is with us.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to use the word. It sounds bad, doesn't it? Force. It sounds like those guys out there. It's the living power of God that is with us.
Yes.
And by faith, you can reach out at any time and say, "God, call upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Deliver me, Lord." And it will come to pass.
Yes.
And so, the blood here with us today, the blood, how do we then reach it? How can we reach to the blood at any time? First, by faith. We must believe it. You see, this is a problem with the brethren. If they say we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, oh yes. But I was in an end time group and I begin to talk about the blood, and he said, "Hey, he's a Baptist." We find that in some Pentecostal groups they say, "Plead the blood." They say, "The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood."
Yes.
That's not it. That's games.
That's right. Absolutely.
You're going to have a deep-seated pre-faith. Before you use it, you're going to have to believe in it.
Right.
See what I'm saying? You're going to have to believe that it can do so-and-so.
Right.
You're going to have to believe that the blood is my shield. That the blood is set about me as a deliverance, as a shield, as a place of hiding. And anything you believe, God's going to do it for you. They overcame him. Can you imagine that God is saying that our final weapon,
that's it, thank God.
Our final weapon of victory is the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame him in the last time. Who are these overcomers? Those that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word. The word of their testimony. Let's leave out the testimony and just say the word. The word. God expects us to believe the word of God. The word of God has no power until you believe it.
That's it.
Until you believe it. And I mean, it's such a marvelous thing. I was telling Brother Owen this morning, I'm welding a piece of thing on the welding iron, catch my thumb, and roasted the thumb off as brown as that book. And the word of God came to me. Immediately I grabbed the thumb and said, "I shall not feel this. I shall have no pain." In Jesus' name, I shall have no pain. And the pain was gone. No pain. Absolutely no pain. But it was brown. It was baked and crusty. And so I'm running inside from outside now to tell Mavis of the glorious thing, how God has healed my finger and no pain. And I said, look how it's roasted. And she said, what finger? Just to run from outside inside, I almost lost my testimony. Because the finger was what I was going to prove, that it was burnt badly. And it wasn't burnt at all. It was just healed. Completely healed instantaneously.
Yes.
See what I mean? She was sick with cancer, dying, completely taken, completely gone. The doctor said, this is impossible. You know, it's just maybe a few weeks to live. And she was smiling and telling the doctor that she's going to be healed. Friday evening, he's tracing the cancer, the development of his cancer. Monday morning, we went back, and the doctor came trembling. He said, there's no cancer.
Praise God.
It's gone.
Yes.
It's gone. Completely gone. Absolutely gone. I don't think we understand how important it is to train our minds to believe God. And to believe his word. For you see, the word of God is the force of creation. God said he spake his word and it was done.
Yes.
And God give you that word and the power of that word to speak. So we are supposed to speak in God and believe what we speak. But you can't get up overnight and just speak.
Right.
Because Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Can you imagine that? You speak spirit. What God is saying to you, that you have the power to speak the word, to speak spirit. We were in a meeting one day and a woman brought in a boy. He said, I want you to pray for this boy. I want you to pray for this boy. I didn't feel like it. I was frightened.
Yes.
I was frightened. Here she come jamming before all these people. And she said she believes that if I pray, the boy will speak because he's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to myself, Lord, I can't pray for this boy. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. You're not going to heal him. I am. I said, you are? And I took new life. I said, come, bring the boy. And I don't know what I prayed. Boy be healed or something like that in the name of Jesus, you know. I was just going through the motions because I heard the word of God. I heard the word of God. So I know the boy's going to be healed now. And I just went through the motions and said, be healed. And the boy stood up there. Everybody's silent. And I said, God, what happened here? The Lord said, tell him to speak. So I told the boy, say, boy, speak. You see, the boy never speak before. He doesn't know what to say. He said, tell him what God can say.
Tell him what to say.
I said, boy, say Jesus. And I think the boy was most spiteful. He was standing sideways like this. He quietly turned round, looked me in the face, and said, Jesus. And when he said Jesus, the whole place went crazy.
Yes, yes.
People screamed, some jumped through the doors and ran.
Yes.
And he started to talk.
Thank God.
And the mother said, no. Remember now, she just brought him in.
Yes.
She said, no, he can't talk. Let me see his mouth. She said, brethren, before I look at his mouth, I tell you this. She said, we are just coming from the doctor. Today's Sunday. Yesterday, we were at the doctor. The doctor said he will never talk because he has no tongue. She said, he's talking now. I want to see if he has a tongue.
Yes. Oh, thank God.
Now that... Again, my unbelief entered in. You know what I thought? In my little mind, I thought that when they opened his mouth, they were going to see blood full of his mouth, where God make an incision, you know, and put in a tongue, a quickie tongue.
Yes.
She opened his mouth. And he had a perfect tongue.
Praise God.
As if he was born with it. There was
praise
no
God.
Incision, no nothing. God did a perfect job.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The word of God must come from God.
Yes.
We cannot originate the word of God. You understand? The word of God must come from God. That means that the man of God, the woman of God, must spend time with God and be sure in here that you have the word of God in here. Because when God puts it into your heart to speak, it must bring life. And we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let us turn around to 14th chapter and look at the overcomers. And he said here, verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. It's not possible for me to go into all the scriptures to preach all the messages this evening in one time, but I believe, and I want you to challenge the belief. Don't just take it and swallow it. I believe that God is going to have a people which he calls his first fruits, who will be resurrected before the rest of the church. I believe that even as a man plants a field out there, and some of the fruits come in first and fetch the best price, because they are early fruits, they are out of season, before the crop really comes in, and they are the best fruits. Even as God says that Israel must give me her first fruits, that they must give me the first animal that is born of any of your stock. This, I believe, that there is a people who are God's first fruiters. And moreover, I can prove it from the scriptures. I believe then that these overcomers are the people who God is depending on, that heaven is sitting down waiting, yes, depending on them, that the earth is depending on them, that nothing in God is going to move. So that means that there are going to be some matured sons.
Yes.
And any one of us who follow the leading of the Spirit,
oh, dear God,
are matured sons.
Praise.
So this is something we have to learn. Yeah. How to walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
And that makes you a matured son.
Yes.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, we go on to verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature. And this word creature here can be translated of all creation. Waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Can you understand? That everything is held up. Everything. All you see is going on in the world, the murder, the destruction, the distress, everything is waiting upon one move. And God forgive us. God have mercy upon us. Because we sometimes don't feel like we're moving on. as much as we should move on. I think we should really just lay down our lives before God. You know, as we sang the song this morning, it's just like we need to just lie down before God and say, God, just take me and forget everything else. Hallelujah. The earnest expectation for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. In other words, when we look at ourselves, we are subject to such vanity. Such petty things hold us.
Oh God.
You know, we are subject to them. We got to sleep. We got to eat. We have to work. We have, you know, but God did it for a purpose. In order that we would break these chains and come forth. And God knew that the nature we have in us will not be content to remain under bondage. Hallelujah. So God is waiting on us. You know, we are even holding up Jesus Christ.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
We are holding him back.
Yes, we are.
He can't move until we are ready. Oh, yes. He that letteth will let. Until the Antichrist rises up in the midst of the church, and God cannot let him loose until we're ready.
Right. Oh God, yes. Oh dear God.
For the creature was made subject to vanity. Verse 21. Because the reason for this is that the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. See, sons of God should not be bound to corruption. And yet, I found a principle in that finger burning that is far beyond what we are thinking of.
Oh, yes.
That we do have the power.
That's right.
If our souls are under the power of the Spirit, that body is just a mere servant.
Hallelujah. Right.
If somebody chop a limb off, you would command that limb to come back.
Hallelujah. We walk like God wants us to.
Oh yes.
Oh yes, Jesus.
I've seen a sister run into a pole and smash her leg completely, 4 inches down, the leg open wide, the bone, the shin bone busted open wide, the kneecap broke in 3 pieces. The doctor said, let's amputate. And the voice of God said, no.
Yes.
She came to the service that brought her in absolute pain, her knee this size. Bring her in and put her down in severe pain. I went, knelt down before her, lay hands on it. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. She jumped and ran around.
Praise God.
They took her back to the x-ray. And she confounded the x-ray machines.
Yes.
There was no broken bones. Nothing happened. Perfect knee.
Praise.
Perfect shin bone. The doctors marveled. Her husband who came against us that we are quacks.
Yes.
And we won't allow his wife to get government doctor's treatment. He broke down in tears.
Oh,
and cried and gave himself to God.
Thank God.
Don't you understand that we have the power? It's just that we don't always hit the mark. I don't know why. Amen. We don't always hit the mark. Sometimes we pray and nothing happens. And God is saying that all creation is waiting for us to break the bondage of corruption and to come forth in Jesus Christ by faith.
Yes.
Hey, hallelujah. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
Right.
All that's happening to the sinners out there, it's a natural process of sin. For the wages of sin is death. They can't help it. The murders, the increase of murder in our midst. The courts lost their power. They're turning out murderers on the street and everything else. All that is the natural progress of sin.
Yes.
The wages of sin is death. It's going to be more and more and worse and worse. The only cure We are the cure.
That's it.
And we are in such a poor condition that only God have mercy upon us and forgive us of all the sin that is being created in our realm, and we cannot control it. You know, instead of turning to God, some of us turn to politics. Foolishness. Politics has no power in comparison to my God. I can pray and change the whole council.
Yes.
Oh yes, I can pray and destroy the power of the voters to vote wrong and let them vote right. Instead of getting down in prayer and fasting and tear this whole thing apart, we're going to get on political platforms preaching to people to vote. We could control the world by the power of prayer that we have. Amen. Yes, a little man was giving me trouble in the council, and he was just giving me a hard time.
Yes.
He took my application for a building and he threw it one side. He has it there for 5 months. And one day, I've been praying to God, and one day God said, get up and go and take hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down and I said, there is a man here discriminating against me and I want to talk to him. And the girl trembled. She said, but I said, you go tell your boss I want to talk to him. There's a man out here who wants to talk to him.
Yes.
And the man came out, and believe you me, he made one look in my eyes, and he was just as sweet as he could be. And while he had me going around, you know, I must get an engineer. I got the engineer. He said the engineer was wrong, and he just kept going around with my plan. And I looked at him, and I said, you tell me what you want, and I'm going to do it. And he started telling me, and he said, oh, it's so complicated. He said, you know what? I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for you. And he got down and did the whole thing and passed the plan and gave it to me. The very man that was the hindrance. There's no way he can stand against you, brother. You just believe in your God. Make sure you're prayed up. Make sure you're ready. Hallelujah. And get down there and talk to him in the name of Jesus with total love. You're not against him for discriminating. He's a sinner. He can't help himself. He's under the power of the devil. So, praise God. Just go deliver him for a few minutes and he'll do everything that he's supposed to do. And praise be to God, I see the same principle here. We know that the whole creation, all the city council and everything, groaning, travailing in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves. We are not just marvelous victors riding on high. We are having problems with us. We ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body. Oh God, hallelujah. You know, brethren, we have the word of God, but sometimes we don't even understand it. Because the word of God says that something is going to be adopted into the kingdom of God. But if we are sons born in the kingdom, how can we be adopted?
Mm-hmm.
We have a birthright. We have your birth paper that you are a son of God, born again in the Spirit. How can you be adopted? And many people read this and don't understand it. There's a part of you that is not born again. Your body is not born again. Your body is being adopted into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And he said, to wit, the redemption of the body. When this body is completely lifted up above everything natural, everything carnal, no heat, no cold can bother me, nothing, no hunger, no pain, no suffering, no death. I have adopted.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And so God is saying, we're waiting for the adoption of the body. So let's bring this word down to a final understanding. God has created us as overcomers. The first thing we need to overcome is ourselves. Once a man has overcome himself, everything else must bow before him. Because God has a divine order. Spirit must be over soul. Soul must be over body. The man must be properly put together. When I was a young man, I found a wild thing in my body, that I had physical temptations to sin. And I hated it. I hated it. And I went into fasting and prayer. And I prayed and fasted and cried to God. Hallelujah. Until God broke the power. 40 days of fast. Fasting unto death. I said, God, if I cannot live a life of victory, kill me now.
Right.
When I lie down there, I got pneumonia. And just begin to bring blood. And I would neither drink water nor eat food. Pneumonia for 40 days. At the end of the days, God came to me and said, all right, you are better now. And I got up. When I got up, I was also delivered. See, my soul could not rule my body. My body was dictating terms, and I couldn't control it. And it was going to destroy my ministry. I said, it's either that you die,
yes,
or I overcome you. And God gave me the victory over my body as a young man. Don't allow any uncontrolled behavior to be in your being. You must not even act by emotions. Never act by emotions. Never act because something outside there is provoking you to act. But you must always act because this is what the Spirit wants me to do.
Right.
It's a divine order. Father over Son over Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost over my spirit. My spirit over my soul. That's my mind, my emotions, my will, my desire. My soul over my body. And my poor little body is just a servant obeying my soul. That's the only order in which God is going to make that, in which you're going to be an overcomer. God's willing, we can go into it deeper later on this evening. Has God been speaking a word to me? But the overcomer must first overcome this man.
Yes.
Yes, sir. And to overcome the man, your spirit must be head of your soul. God bless you, brethren. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Jesus.